Well, this morning, if you're visiting, you'll have no clue that it's any different, but I felt like the Lord said that this message is not supposed to be shared as a normal message. It's not shared from a place of authority. It's not shared from a place of, I think if the picture I had was it's supposed to be a message that's shared as a father or as a friend. That if it was my family, we would sit in the living room and we would gather around and we would talk. And it's not because something bad has happened. It's not because someone's in trouble. It's not because this is a message about something that somebody did something wrong. I think it's just the nature of God's heart today. I think that there's things in the kingdom that he invites us to remember and to live out of that sometimes he's not looking for us to get more information in our head. There's no more understanding that you need that's going to allow you to walk in this truth. It's really an impartation, spirit to spirit, from the Lord to you. And yet the message, the content of the topic is so critical to the kingdom that apart from it, it really doesn't work. Yes. And so that you'll get it as I share. I think I felt like I should pray first. And I think that the Lord, as I was in the back, I felt like he was saying, reminding me, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And that's not something that you can manufacture. You can't say, well, I'm going to have ears to hear, right? It's a spirit thing. It's something that his spirit is doing. And so I just want to pray for our spirits to arise to receive the impartation of what he's releasing today. So Holy Spirit, we thank you. We celebrate in advance your goodness and your kindness. And we ask that you would awaken our spirits, that the receptacles within our spirits would be so alive this morning that we wouldn't miss anything that you're releasing to us as you share kingdom truths today. That it would land somewhere in us, where in the deep recesses of who we are, where we know that we'll never be the same again. We can't live the same again. We can't continue walking in the same manner that we've been walking in. Something shifts. It's really a good thing. And we just ask for your grace in that way. We're hungry and thirsty for more of you. We're hungry and thirsty to represent you well in this land. And we can't do it apart from your grace. We can't do it apart from your presence and walking in the fullness of who you called us to be. So would you allow us to receive in a manner that launches us into the truth of who we are today in a fresh way. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, the topic this morning is forgiveness. And so when I even say that word, you already have a category for what you think this message is about. Because you already know what forgiveness is, right? And so if you stop there and you just say, okay, what can he tell me new that I don't already know about forgiveness? You're free to go, right? Because I'm not going to share anything new. Nothing that I share will be new. Well, one thing that I will share, which is something that God has had us in a theme for the past few years, is what do you really believe? Because what you believe will change the way that you live. If you simply believe that about forgiveness a certain way because of what you've been told, and then you sort of hold that, but you don't truly believe the truth about what Jesus did, your life will stay the same. But when we receive forgiveness or the topic of forgiveness under the truth of what Jesus did, what he modeled and said, and how he lived it, and then what he called his disciples to do, you'll never be the same again. And so we'll see where this goes. But ultimately, every single person in this room has been hurt. You've all been hurt. I guarantee it. right? Every one of us has been hurt. We've been physically hurt over the years. We've been emotionally hurt over the years. And those hurts, they impact our spirit. Whether you want to or not, or you, whether you try to fight that off or not, your spirit is impacted when you get hurt. It just is. As we live life, we get hurt. We get hurt even by those who love us the most, right? And we get hurt by strangers. It's just, it's one of those things. Some of those hurts are sort of the commission hurts, right? Commission means that they're done intentionally, right? Somebody set out to do something. Maybe they didn't even mean to do it, but they did something that hurt us. And then there's these things of omission, right? Where they didn't even know they did it, right? It was so unaware of what's going on. Maybe it's something they neglected to do that hurt us. Something that they should have as a good father, as a good mother, as a good friend, as a good spouse, a good child, but they didn't do it. And so that hurt. Hurts individualized. So it will do you no good to compare your hurt with anybody else in this congregation or in this auditorium. It doesn't serve you, right? Your hurt is your hurt. You can't control when you get hurt. If you're hurt, you're hurt. The only thing you can sort of navigate is your response when you get hurt. How do you respond when you get hurt? And that's really the key. The other truth is you're not responsible for getting hurt. Does that make sense? Do you ever feel like it's because of something I did? It's because of something that I deserve. That's why I keep getting hurt. Something in my past, that's what makes me keep getting hurt, right? Something that's wrong with me. And the truth for the kingdom is it's not your fault when you get hurt. It isn't. It's sort of, it blindsides you sometimes. And yet the reality is we all experience it. And again, your response to when you, whoa, I'm hurt. That's really the key that we can sort of bring to the Lord and ask him to release truth and guide us. And so one of the step backs for this message today, sort of a foundation truth, you need to decide whether you really believe it or not. And again, not just intellectually, but in your spirit, do you really believe this truth, that Jesus paid the price for all sin, for every individual, for all time? Jesus Christ paid the price for all sin, for every individual, for all time. It's finished. Do you believe it? And don't just quickly say, yeah, I believe it. Hold it for a second. Think about what it means to make that statement, right? Price for all sin, for every individual on the face of the planet, for all time, from Adam all the way to current, and you keep going, right? It's already been paid for. Because what we really believe about this truth will determine how you navigate when you get hurt. Past, present, future. Stuff that happened when you were a little kid. Stuff that's going on today or this week. Stuff that's going to happen in the next months, years to come. What you believe about the truth of what Jesus did will determine how you respond in the midst of when you find yourself hurt. We have an enemy, right? He's a liar. We would agree with that. He's called the father of lies. And one of the lies that the enemy wants us to believe, you and me, is that the person who hurt you should pay for what they did. Do you ever feel that? That what they did to me is so bad, they should pay. They need to pay. They should suffer because you suffered, right? Got to read my little scribbles up here. Yeah. One of the truths is that unforgiveness, I say this later in my text, but it's really a temptation from the enemy. It's an invitation where he says, hold this, take this. This is going to serve you. This is going to bless you. He doesn't use that language, right? But usually we're so mad or frustrated or upset or sad that we want someone to pay. And he comes along and says, this is how you can do it. I heard in a teaching, this is from me back in the 80s, that unforgiveness is the poison you drink hoping the other person gets sick. Ever heard that before? You drink it. And all the while, you're hoping that that person who did that thing to you or didn't do the thing to you or forgot you, forgot your birthday, forgot whatever, I don't know, right? That they would suffer. But it doesn't work. And I think the second thing the enemy, he wants you to believe is that it would be easier to forgive that person if they would only say sorry or admit that they had done something wrong. And yet the reality is it may feel like it, but it really isn't. Or sometimes the enemy says, unless they ask for forgiveness, then you don't have to forgive them, right? Somehow you can hold it over them. And yet the reality is we know the truth that it really doesn't work. Because anything done or failed to be done by another person that has caused you hurt, it's already been paid for by Jesus. Do you believe it? Yeah. Right? It doesn't make what they did or didn't do or what they failed to do okay. Just like your sin isn't okay when you've hurt somebody, right? But Jesus' blood covers every atrocity and every omission for every person for all time. He paid for it. It's already been done. It's finished. Like for yourself, do you believe that you still have to pay for what you've done or failed to do? You do have to pay. Yeah, and see, that's a challenge. Because I think the reality is what we believe about what we deserve based on our sort of sin or the ways that we've hurt others, in light of the cross, in light of the blood that was shed for us, is really the pivotal thing, right? If his blood is sufficient for you, then you don't have to pay. It's already been paid for. If it's not sufficient, then we still feel like we need to pay, right? And that's a challenge. If you can receive the truth of that for yourself, then what about for those who've hurt you? Can you look at them in the same light? That gets harder, I think. Was Jesus' blood sufficient for them? In light of this thing that you're facing, this hurt, this pain, this suffering, this thing that is tragedy, right? Is there someone in your life that it's hard to believe this for? Right? Someone hurt you when you were a little kid and you've been living with that thing for your whole life and now you're in your 60s and that thing has just lived over you your whole life, right? It's hard to just say Jesus' blood is sufficient for that. I think the feeling is that what they did or currently are doing to you is so atrocious or wrong that it's hard to believe that Jesus would pay the price for it and that in his eyes they could be clean and pure and free from guilt. Because of how hard it is, how serious it is. And yet the truth is that Jesus' blood is just that powerful. Again, it doesn't make what they did or didn't do right or okay. God doesn't celebrate in sin. Jesus just took it all on himself. And then he doesn't compare sin, right? There's not levels of sin. And so one person's sin, big or small, in our eyes, in Jesus' eyes, is all the same. And his blood is sufficient for all of it. I mean, we know if you've been walking with the Lord for any length of time, you know that Jesus, he had a lot to say about forgiveness, and he also modeled forgiveness. And so if you have your Bibles, you can look at Luke 23, verse 33 and 34. It says, "And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.'" Like, think about Jesus in that moment, what he just experienced, right? He was brutally beaten. He experienced rejection. He was abandoned, physical pain, emotional pain. He was ridiculed, right? Obviously, he bore all our shame. There's some aspect of that. And in the midst of all of that, Jesus models forgiveness. That's powerful. And you could say, well, he did it because he was God, right? So he had some supernatural power. And yet we believe and we know the truth that when Jesus walked on earth, he was man, partnering with the Holy Spirit. And so there's this powerful force in the Spirit that allows us to do what Jesus did. Again, he said we would do the same works as him and even greater works. And you can look at the context of that. But the reality is, I believe what Jesus is saying is we could walk in the same manner as he did because of our partnership with the Holy Spirit. And we also see that Jesus taught about forgiveness, right? And so again, these are familiar passages. Matthew 18, verse 21, it says, "Then Peter came up and said to him, 'Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? And Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered for him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payments to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, 'Pay what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. They went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had had mercy on you?' And in his anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." In Mark 11, verse 25, Jesus says, "And whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive your trespasses." The truth for us today is that some of us choose to forgive because it's a command, right? Obedience. Obedience is a good thing. It's an important thing in the kingdom. And that's why many of us, we say, I'm going to forgive because Jesus said to forgive. And others of us choose to forgive out of fear. Because if I don't forgive, then he's not going to forgive me. Right? I think some of us, ultimately, choose to forgive because we know the truth about unforgiveness. This is what I said before. Unforgiveness is a temptation of the enemy. And we know that if we partner with unforgiveness, that all it does is it robs, kills, and destroys us. It's poison. It's never not. Does that make sense? All unforgiveness is poison. It will only hurt you. It will only rob you. It will only kill you. And so when we say yes to unforgiveness, we open the door for the enemy to wreak havoc in our lives physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Like we see this often in the healing rooms, that sometimes people's physical pain or physical stuff that's going on is a result of unforgiveness that they've held on to. As soon as they release the person that they've been holding this thing against, their physical healing manifests. We can't figure out the whys or the what, right? Sometimes that's the case, sometimes it's not. But we've seen it enough to know that there's a link to unforgiveness and some of the physical maladies or emotional situations that people are experiencing. The enemy wants us to believe that God is cruel, right? That if God were truly loving and good, why would he demand us to forgive, release, and bless someone who committed an atrocity against us? Seems to make sense, doesn't it? Like, if God loved me, why would he make me pay? If God loved me, he would make them pay for what they did or failed to do. Doesn't that seem to make sense? I think in the world it does. It makes perfect sense. Unforgiveness feels right. It really does. Holding something over a person who has wronged us in the hopes that somehow they're going to suffer because of what they did. I think this is why forgiveness feels difficult and at times seems too hard or even impossible to walk in. But as followers of Jesus, we're not of this world. You're not. As soon as you accepted Jesus, you're no longer of this world. You're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. You're not the same person you were. And in the kingdom, Jesus already paid the price for the atrocities that have been committed against us. It's already done. And so as a result, when we forgive someone, we gain an increased measure of abundant life. It's like one of our superpowers, actually. It is. Right? What are those superfoods? Right? Something like that. I don't know what it is, but these things that you can take, I can ask some of my healthy friends, right? And they bring something into your body that makes what you have, it's way better than what you actually have. I think that's what forgiveness actually does. Jesus's goal isn't for us to suffer more for what we've experienced, right? By asking us to forgive, sort of like insult to injury, his goal is for us to have freedom, for you to have freedom, because he loves you. And he shed his blood and bore all sin for all time for you and me so that you could be free, so that I could be free. Unforgiveness is a trap or a bondage that hinders us from receiving the love, grace, healing, and life that God intends for us to have as part of our inheritance. And yet when we choose to forgive, we make that conscious choice that I'm going to forgive this person. In the spirit, that trap and those bonds are broken. They no longer have power over you. And releasing more abundant life into your spirit, soul, and body. Right? Sometimes there's layers of forgiveness. You guys ever experienced that? where somebody did something that hurt you, and you went through a process where you forgave them, and then months later, even years later, like something comes back into your mind, and you're like, wait a minute, I already dealt with that way over here. And yet there's another aspect of that hurt, or a different component to the hurt that happened, that God is now inviting you to release them and to forgive them for, because there's another measure of abundant life for you to have in the midst of that connection, right? When we choose to forgive the person, the Holy Spirit highlights this person or area again, because there's even more freedom for us to have an experience. If this is the lens that we have regarding forgiveness, then we welcome the highlighting of the Holy Spirit, even though it may be difficult to face, right? So have you ever been in that situation and you feel like I've already forgiven the person, and then it hits you again? You're like, oh, crud, I don't want to deal with this again anymore. I'm done with that. But here it is again. But if you believe that the reason why it's back there again is because God has more life for you, then you're going to welcome that in a very different light. You're going to say, thank you, Holy Spirit, for revealing that there's still an aspect of my heart that's not clean or free, that's not pure. And you're inviting me into this because you want me to have complete freedom. And that's what you're after. And you wouldn't ask me to do something that you weren't giving me grace to be able to do. Right? Because again, it's not on you to just muster it up and make it happen. If it were that easy, you could do it all the time. But it's something in your spirit. That's why it is a spiritual matter. Often I think we're surprised, right? Because we thought we had dealt with it already, but the truth is that each layer brings us more freedom. And the reality is that we may not be at a place to face or consider forgiveness in a particular area until God has done a greater work in our lives to bring us to a place of being ready. I think sometimes that's why he doesn't hit you with every aspect of how that thing affects you, because you may deal with a piece of it here, and then you're ready now because you've had spiritual growth to get you to this place, and then here, and then here, and then here. All the while, he's working in you. He's preparing your heart. He's helping you grow. We don't need to understand the whys if we trust that God is good and he's for us. We can just rest in it. And he reveals things in our lives because he loves us. Again, sometimes we ask, shouldn't the person have to ask for forgiveness or own their part for me to forgive them, release them, and bless them? I think the reality is Jesus didn't model that. He wasn't waiting on the cross, I'll forgive you if you guys ask for forgiveness. Nobody was going to ask for forgiveness. They thought what they were doing was honoring and pleasing to God. It was the best thing that they could do to serve the God that they worshiped. All right? And Jesus, he doesn't ask them to ask for forgiveness. He's not waiting for that. He makes a choice to release them, bless them, even in the midst of all that he just experienced and endured. The reality is often the person who has hurt us has moved on or doesn't feel like they did anything wrong. You hear that often. They're not even thinking about it anymore. Here we are, I've carried something for 20 years, and the person who committed the whatever against us, they're just living life. They're doing their own thing. And yet every time we think of them, this thing rises up inside of us, right? And we're like, often I think others aren't ready to face up to what they've done or failed to do. They're not in a place yet to look at it. And we're demanding that they be in that place, and yet they're not there yet. And yet the truth is that our unforgiveness isn't hurting them at all. It doesn't accomplish what the liar says it will accomplish. It only robs, kills, and destroys us. And so forgiving them actually opens the door for God to bless both you and me and them. And you're like, but I don't want to bless them. Because you haven't forgiven them yet. Does that make sense? Right? It's hard to get clean. I think that's the thing. It's hard to want to bless somebody who's hurt us so painfully. It really is. And yet in the kingdom, there's something about the kingdom. That's how it works. That as you release them, as you bless them, you actually experience the freedom of blessing and abundant life that God has for you. It doesn't make sense. Your understanding can't figure it out. You either have to believe it or not, right? And ultimately, spirit to spirit. But if you look at it through the lens of what what he did on the cross, I think that has helped me, I'll say personally. If I can truly say that I believe that his blood has covered that hurt, it makes it easier for me to walk through that forgiveness process. But if I don't look at it through the lens of Jesus' blood, it's harder. And so that's why I started with that this morning, in terms of what do you really believe about what Jesus accomplished. Last week we looked briefly at Psalm 139 when we were talking about worship. And I'm just going to read it again, verses 23 and 24. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." I think the reality is why I shared that verse is often we don't know what's in our own hearts. We don't know really what's there, right? Or why we're sort of locked into our particular mindset. We're not aware. And we need the Holy Spirit to shine his light to reveal what's actually really there. Especially in the places where you feel like, well, I've already forgiven that. I've already dealt with that. I've already taken care of that. But you're still not living in freedom, right? And so that's a good time to invite the Holy Spirit and say, is there anything in me or any aspect of this that you want to reveal to me? That I can work with you in moving in the direction of releasing and forgiving and blessing. Again, the Holy Spirit, he never forces us. And even if you say no, his love's still on for you. And that's a beautiful thing. He will continue loving you. He will continue shining light. He will continue trying to lead you to a place where you're ready to forgive. But he'll never force you. Never force you. But if you say yes, his grace is flowing towards you to empower you to walk through anything that he reveals. I truly believe that. He doesn't set us up for failure. He empowers us to be able to move forward in the things that he's highlighting or inviting us into. And what I felt like the Lord wanted to do is just to give us a few minutes this morning. So normally I don't do this, but I'm just going to play some quiet music and just between you and the Lord and just allow the Holy Spirit, if you're open, again, if you're like, I don't want to hear from you, Holy Spirit, you know how to handle life to not hear from the Holy Spirit, right? You know what to do. And so you're not being forced. You don't have to leave. But trusting that if the Holy Spirit highlights something, that there's something there for you. And for some of you, the Holy Spirit might highlight something that you're already working through. For others, he might highlight something that you don't even know. You're not even aware that you're hurt. And I think it's okay. And so we're just going to trust him. I'm going to pray, Holy Spirit, would you just come? We invite your presence right now. We trust your goodness, your faithfulness, that your love is on towards every single person who hears the sound of my voice. Whether you're in the room right now or you're listening to this message later on the podcast, would you search our hearts? Shine your light. Reveal any thing in our lives where we're holding on to unforgiveness or any atrocity that has been done against us, or something that where we've been neglected, where there was a sin of omission, right? I pray that you would reveal it if there's some aspect or some person that has hurt us that we need to forgive. And then we're trusting that you'll give us the grace to be able to carry that out. And you'll show us what does it look like with each specific situation. Jesus, I thank you that you know every single person who can hear the sound of my voice. And you created them before they were in their mother's womb. You knew them. And you've seen everything that's happened over the course of their lives up to this point. You know every single hurt, every pain, every place they've suffered or endured hardship. Everything that's been hard or tricky to navigate. You've been with them every step of the way, watching over them, loving them, even through the hardest of circumstances and situations. None of their pain is insignificant to you. It really matters. That's why you went to the cross. Because it really mattered. They really matter. So today, as you've highlighted some things for some people and maybe nothing for others, I pray, Jesus, that the grace that's poured out in the Spirit today wouldn't just be a sprinkling or just enough, but there would actually be a deluge of grace that gets poured out right now in the Spirit over every single person. And that what they couldn't forgive yesterday, that today, for some reason, there's just an ability to do it. Because they've been divinely empowered to do something they could never do on their own. They don't have to work up to it. They don't have to try harder. They just have to lean into your grace. I just thank you for that, Jesus. Receive your grace. I feel like he's highlighting that some of you are tired because you've carried stuff for a long time. You're tired of carrying it. You're tired of even looking at it. You're tired of it being the thing that consumes so much of your life, or that has affected so many aspects of your life. And I feel like there's grace today to just lay it at Jesus' feet in a way like you haven't done before. And so, Jesus, I pray that you would enable and empower individuals to lay things down at your feet today. They don't have to pick it up again. They can trust that you've got it, that your yoke is easy, it's light. And they've been trying to carry this heavy thing all these days, but they don't have to. Yeah. Thanks for meeting them in this place. Just breathe fresh hope today. For those who are sitting here and they're still wrestling, it's still hard, it still feels tricky or difficult, we just declare and release hope. There's good things coming your way because there's a good God who's still on the throne. And he said that he would turn everything to good for those who love him. And so we're counting on that. And part of it, turning to good, involves us walking in this kingdom principle of forgiveness. And so thank you, Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit, for not stopping, not leaving us in bondage, not leaving us in chains, but continuing to guide and lead and direct us into the truth of the kingdom, that your blood is and was and forever will be sufficient to cover everything that has ever been and will ever be done against us or failed to do for us. Yeah. Thank you for your blood. I'm going to turn the music off, and then I just got one more thing that I felt like the Holy Spirit highlighted as I was preparing. I think so often in my life I've looked at forgiveness simply as a choice, that it's from incident to incident. I go a period of life, somebody hurts me, and I get to choose whether or not to forgive them or not. And then I keep moving forward and something else hurts me and I get to choose whether or not to forgive them or not. And as I was prepping this message, I felt like God's sort of framed it in a light that there's a different way of living around the issue of forgiveness. And it's similar to the language he's been talking with me about for the past 5 years. And but he said that there's a way of living with forgiveness as a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle, or it could be. It could be incident by incident, or it could be a lifestyle where there's a predetermined yes, or it's part of your identity as one who forgives. I think I see that with Jesus. He lived a lifestyle of forgiveness. Anything that came at him, right? He was always freely forgiving. It was part of who he was. It's part of what he modeled. He didn't have to stop and think, okay, am I going to forgive this Pharisee or not, right? On the cross, was he thinking, well, this person did this, right? No. And again, we separate ourselves so far from Jesus, right? And so we think, well, he's God, right? And yet the reality, it's not what the scripture says. And when he walked on earth, so he is God. But on earth, he humbled himself and took the form of a man, just like you and me. And so part of the things I think the Holy Spirit wants to invite you is to consider this week, or in the next weeks, how do you want to navigate forgiveness? Are you content with going from choice to choice to choice, or incident to incident to incident? Because you might have something that happens that you don't want to forgive. Or are you willing to say, Jesus, once and for all, I just want to embrace a lifestyle of forgiveness. I don't want to have to think about it anymore. Every time I get hurt, every time something rises up in me from the past that says, ooh, there's still a twinge, I just choose to forgive. I just do it because it's part of who I am. Trusting that he's going to give you the grace to know how to do it or how to walk in it, right? It's not always the same. Sometimes forgiveness feels easier or harder, but the truth is he always has grace that's sufficient to walk in even the hardest places of forgiveness. I've seen that in all the ministry that I've done over the years, right? I think that's an invitation today. And so, again, he'll never force something on you, but I pose it to consider a different way of navigating forgiveness. So let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for this word. I thank you for the seed that it is, the potential that it has to transform our lives and to produce a harvest of fruit that's unheard of. As we embrace the concept of forgiveness in the way that you modeled it and taught about it, in what you revealed to your disciples and encouraged them to walk in. And I pray, Jesus, that there would be a shift for us today in our spirit, even if we don't understand it, that something shifted in our ability to forgive, our desire to forgive, and that it would be less out of just pure obedience or less out of fear and more out of embracing the truth of your kingdom principle, embracing abundant life, embracing the freedom that you long for us to have. And pray that you, Holy Spirit, would continue speaking to individuals this week, this month, about this topic. And that you would be the one who raises it up gently, who highlights what's in our hearts, who helps us to navigate through any tricky or hard places, shows us what to do. And we just trust you. So we pray that you will seal this word for your glory. And we just ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.